I'm excited when I see little babies being dedicated and families coming together. So it's so wonderful to see family members here today. You are most welcome. Please join us for a cup of tea and coffee afterwards. And all the other visitors, I see there's quite a number of visitors here today. May you all be blessed today. I'm going to try and be to the point this morning, not speak too long. But I do want to say everything that God has laid on my heart. So I'll speak quickly and fast, but to the point. Let's just pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will anoint my mouth as I speak, that you lead me and guide me, put every word in my mouth, that you'll touch our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There's a word that I've got this morning. It's called or entitled When God Speaks. And we're going to be looking at the times and the places and through whom God speaks and what our actions should be, how we should receive the Word of God. And we've been looking at the parents now and the responsibility that we as parents have to bring the Word of God to our children, to raise our children up according to God's Word and according to God's instruction. But sometimes it happens that we don't recognize the voice of God when He speaks. We don't really know how to operate, how to connect with Him. And basically the word I'm going to be sharing with you today is an introduction to what we're going to be dealing with over the next 3 weeks on Wednesday nights. And the fact that there is a shift that we need to have in our mindset in terms of the value that we place on the times when God speaks. And we're going to start with Exodus chapter 3 from verse 4 to 6. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, this is now Moses seeing the burning bush, and God is there in the burning bush in the fire, and Moses turns aside. God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Here Moses has a God encounter. He recognizes that this is the most holy God. This is the creator of the universe that is speaking to him here. And immediately he knew how to respond. And he hid his face because he knew that he could not look even at God. He knew that he had to take off his sandals, off his feet. And because he was standing on holy ground, he was responding in the appropriate manner. But this is contrary to what we see in the world today. In the world today, we see people responding to God with such great disrespect, with such great dishonor, without the fear of God, without knowing really who is it that speaks to them and when He speaks to them. And that is the thing that I want us to change throughout this morning. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33 from verse 8 to 11. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Both of these two stories are quite well known, but I want us to just look a little bit more in depth at these two scriptures. Starting with the first one, I want to ask a question, and I'm going to leave the question hanging. Do you know when you are standing on holy ground? Have you learned to discern the holy moments in life? When you need to press the pause button in life and say, now I'm going to stop. I'm going to not walk on. I'm not going to go look for the sheep anymore. I'm going to stop my life and I'm going to look at what is God saying to me now. I'm going to cancel everything else. I'm going to stop every other program or agenda or meeting or happening or event or even the rugby match against England. Because God is holier than the Springboks. Can we come to a place where we can press pause and say, I'm not going to watch the last 5 minutes of the match, even though we tie? You can see I watched the rugby yesterday, hey? And all those who laughed also watched it. But then I want to come to the second scripture in Exodus chapter 33. And here we have this encounter where Moses has now got a formal appointment, a date in a sense with God, and he moves. And when Moses moves, all of Israel comes to a standstill. Everything that they were doing, if they were milking a cow, they stopped milking the cow. If they were washing the clothes, they stopped washing the clothes. Whatever they were doing, they stopped. And each man would gather his household, his wife and all of his children around him, and they would stand at the entrance of each one of their own tents. And they would be watching silently, just keeping quiet, having their full attention, their full focus on Moses and waiting, because they cannot hear directly from where they're standing what God is saying to Moses, but they're saying, this is a holy moment when the servant of God is going to meet with the Lord, and he is going to inquire, what is God saying to us as the people of Israel? What is he going to say to us as 3 million Israelites in the desert? What is he going to say to me and my household standing here at this tent? In other words, there was this great reverence and a standing to attention. And so everybody was standing at attention and saying, now we're going to await the word of the Lord with that great focus, that great intensity. And then eventually Moses would come back and he would speak to the people, and the fathers would turn around to their wives and to their children and make sure that everybody understood what God has said now. That everybody understand what is God's purpose for them for the next 2 days, or even for the rest of their lives, or for them as a people group unto eternity. And they were ready to receive. But there are so many believers, I'm not even speaking about the non-believers, but so many believers of God, believers in Christ, who do not value these moments, who do not stand to attention, who do not have focus when God speaks, who do not say, let me receive as the husband, as the head of the home, and share with my wife and my children the things which are precious, the things which are holy, the things which I cannot live without. When some people started to fall away from Jesus, and Jesus turned to his disciples and said, don't you want to fall away as well? Don't you want to run away as well? And the apostle Peter turned to Jesus and said, where shall we go? Because you have the words of life. It's that revelation that the words of life comes from Jesus Christ, and there is nothing more valuable than that. There is no meeting, there is no appointment, there is no job or task or something that you have to do. There's no cow more important than that moment when God speaks. There's no telephone or SMS. I sometimes see people running out. Unless you're a doctor on standby and you're going to go save somebody's life, you don't answer a telephone call when God speaks. It's that simple. We've got to come to the place of respect. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 29. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear those people. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, then they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the scenario that Jesus is explaining about the rich man that went to hell, and now he suddenly realizes, okay, I missed it, and it's now too late for me. I'm in hell here, but I've got family down there on earth that still has a chance to turn their lives around. If at least somebody could go down and tell them, listen, heaven and hell is real. We've got a message to you from your dead brother saying that he made a mistake. God is real. That heaven and hell is real. And that you need to make the right decisions right now and change your lives around. And his request is, please send somebody down to go and warn them. Tell them that it's real. And then Abraham tells him and says, they must believe Moses and the prophets. What is he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament at that time, because the New Testament was still being written, which came after that time. But he's saying they were messengers, and the message has actually been written down. And if they do not listen to the word of God,
here it is, then they will not listen even to someone coming back from the dead. Saying to us how valuable it is that we listen to the Word of God, that we listen to the message that God speaks, and that we recognize God's voice when it comes. Maybe just before I move on to this, in this, I want to just backtrack to that previous scripture, something I missed now. When Moses went, all the people rose up. In other words, there was an action that they took. And they said, we are going to rise up and we're going to move towards a place. So many times it happens on a Sunday morning, especially a morning like today, or like last week when it was cold and we're all wanting to have pannekoek or soup or some coffee in bed and just sleep late. Has anybody been tempted with that lately? Just be honest. En hier skit sy kop, miskien is die pannekoek nie genoeg nie. Many times we fail to rise up. Many times we fail to gather together. Many times we fail to come to a place of attention where we say, now I'm going to switch off my life and I'm going to listen. What does that mean practically? It means the times when we're supposed to come to church. You see, church is not just about a religious gathering. It's about the times when God speaks, and God is speaking right now. I hope you realize that. God uses people to speak. And when we gather here on a Sunday, it's not just for coffee. It's not just for fellowship. It's not because it's some kind of a religious duty. We are here because we need to hear what God is saying. And those who are not here because they did not rise up are missing out. And it's like Christelle says, you can hear she's a teacher by profession. I don't know, did you pick that up? That if you miss those building blocks in your quest to master maths, then you will not be able to proceed. You will have to come back and fill in those blocks. If I can just maybe give you an example of my testimony regarding maths. I moved during the middle of my standard 9, grade 11 here, or second term from the Transvaal to the Cape. The curriculums were different in those days. I was a whole term behind, one term behind. My maths fell from 74% to 22 to 14%. Okay. Have I got your attention? When I got my mark, my 14%, I burst out laughing and I just said, this is so ridiculous. I can't even cry over this. I just laughed over it. And I was walking to the hostel and I laughed and I laughed and I thought, what am I going to tell my dad? And when I told him, he just burst out laughing too. And I realized that I know that in Christ, I can do all things and I can overcome this. But what I did is I backtracked and I went to winter school and I started with from standard 8, grade 10 work. I backtracked a whole year, and I started working through those things, and I've caught up with every single little building block, and I made sure that everything that I missed, I caught up, and I went through two winter schools to eventually catch up, and the result is, at the end of matric, I had 94%, from 14 to 94, because I took the time out to go catch up where I missed out. Because there were times in my maths career that I did not rise up. That I was not there. Maybe yes, because it was a different school and I was a term behind. But as believers, sometimes it happens that we fail to rise up. That we decide that church is not important enough. That cell group is not important enough. That prayer meeting is not important enough. That somehow listening to God and seeking God's voice and hearing what God has to say to me is not important enough for me to actually rise up. For me to get into my car and to go somewhere. For me to arrange my weekend plans in such a way that I can be there in church. To arrange my week and my meetings, and even when I work far away, that I arrange my meetings in such a way that I say, I have got an important date with my God, and I cannot miss that. That is the rising up that we need to come to today. And I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to you so clearly that you would hear His voice as I'm speaking right now. Coming back to the story regarding Abraham. How do we recognize when God speaks to us? When are the times when he speaks? Firstly, he speaks on a Sunday at church. Sometimes he speaks twice, through the preacher. That would be myself or some of the other guys that's preaching here. Through the prophetic words. And maybe I can just share this with you just quickly. When I share a message on a Sunday morning, I don't go Google and look what's fancy, the fancy stuff that Louis Giglio is preaching about. Okay? I don't go thinking, what is the patterns in the world and what is the spiritual Christian trends globally? And what is the in teachings? And what is the best-selling books? And I don't do that. I do one simple thing. I say, God, what is your word for your people today? Every time I stand here, you must know that. That I do not speak simply because I think it's a nice teaching, because I had some clever revelation. Every time I stand here, it's because I know that God has something specific that he wants to share with you. The same for the others who come. Then God speaks through prophetic words, like the two people that came up here this morning. God spoke, and I hope you actually wrote those scriptures down. Because those scriptures were not just for the people there, otherwise they would have sat down and they would have not come up with fear and trembling. But they came up because God was saying, I have something else. I want you to take note of the churches in Revelation. What did God say to us today? Through that scripture that she read on Revelation. He's saying, churches, I have this for you. You're doing some things right, but there are some things that you're not doing right, and you better go and do that right. And if you do not do it right, your lampstand will be removed. And you will cease to exist. As a church, as a congregation, if you do not obey and do not get your house in order, I am going to make a change. And I want to tell you that that word is exactly what I'm saying here this morning. You're going to see that in the next 20 minutes. Now, she didn't know what I was going to say. But the same Spirit of God is speaking and he's saying, church, you are able to overcome. There are changes that you need to make. That is why we're coming together in the next 3 Wednesdays. Because there's things that God said, we need to get our house in order. We need to set things in place. And it's not going to be like a crying and a whole, ooh, so you're mad for yourself. It's not about that. It's about saying, God, we are hearing what you're saying, and we have made a plan to go and attend to everything that you have for us. To pay attention to that and say, now we're going to make the changes that's necessary. I spoke to Christelle once as we were going through some issues, and I said to her, listen, it doesn't help us to feel sorry or to feel, all repentant. We need to come to that place, yes, but what we have to do is to go and do what is right, to go and set an order which is not right. God spoke to Cain when he, just before he killed his brother, and he said to him, listen, you're not happy about the fact that your offering is not accepted, but just go and do what is right. Stop moaning, los your dik back, gait, en moenie op your lip trap, Danny, tell your lip up. And then go and do what is right and come back, and then your offering, that same offering, would be acceptable. And so God is saying to us as a congregation, listen, church, like the 7 churches, there are some things that's great and fantastic, but there are some things that needs to change. And if we are not going to be there next for the couple of Wednesdays or not get the CD if you're away on holiday, then you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on those building blocks. But I'm not only concerned about the next 3 Wednesdays. I'm concerned about every Sunday and about every Wednesday and about every time when God speaks. Every meeting that we have, by the way, for those who are in ministry leaders, the decisions that is made, you can change our minds and saying, but God is ordering us in this way or that way and that way, and we need to see it as such. Let me continue. On Sunday mornings, how does God speak? He speaks directly to our hearts. Right now, you are hearing my voice, but you're also hearing the voice of the Spirit. You can feel the Spirit tugging at your heart. You can feel there's certain things that you need to change in your life, and God is speaking to you directly right there. He's got your address. He knows exactly what's happening in your life. And so we need to listen to what God is saying directly to us. God speaks sometimes during the altar call when people come to the front and we pray for them and we get words of prophecy for them. God speaks when we drink coffee there and somebody comes to you and says, listen, I have this thing for you, or I have a scripture for you, or I have an encouragement for you, or somebody just says something that is changing your life around a cup of coffee after church. But if we don't come,
we're going to miss out.
God speaks at cell group. He speaks at intercession. He speaks at Bible school. He speaks every time that His people gathers. And then He also speaks through the officers in the church, if I can call it that. In other words, He speaks through Pastor Fred May, who is the senior pastor of Shofar Christian International. And when He speaks through him, He's going to give us instructions that applies to every Shofar church internationally. And then we mustn't just look at those instructions and say, oh, well, that's a nice idea that Pastor Fred had. I wonder how he got to that idea. Did he Google it? Did he watch it on YouTube, or did he catch it there on Facebook, or where did he get that idea from? When there's a national directive that comes through, we need to pay attention and say, God has spoken through the office of our national leader. The same applies to when Pastor Heinrich, as our regional leader, speaks. Then we need to pay attention. When I speak here in my office as the pastor, when the elders speak in their office as elders, when your cell leader speaks in the office of cell leader, you need to pay attention because God is speaking. We need to recognize that. And many times we despise the word of the Lord because we despise the person in the office, or we despise the office itself. In other words, we don't really like or connect with or like the same kind of style as the person in the office. Or sometimes we have an issue or a problem with authority and we don't want to submit to the office, full stop. And we have to change and say, where does that message come from? It comes from God, and we need to respect it as such. When God speaks, He expects us to obey. I want to give you just a few examples in terms of how God speaks, and then we're going to move on to the last two scriptures for today. Last Sunday, I gave a message entitled, Is Your Faith Worth Following? Okay, and it was a Father's Day message, and I spoke about the fact that as fathers, we need to live a life of faith that our children and our wives including would want to follow, and the generations coming after that. And the fact that what we value as fathers is what our children will value. If we value church time and coming to church and we get everybody up in the middle of winter to say, come, or you do like my dad, you know, he really chased us up when we were young. See, somebody's smiling. He's got a dad like that. And you know, whether we like to go or not, we were all there in the car and sitting in the back of the station wagon, all squashed together, but here we go to church because He placed a value on that. Now, we heard that last week, that we need to, as fathers, place a value on God time with our families, that we need to now communicate with our families when we're going to set God time aside and when we're going to do it for the future. Now, my question to you this week is, listening to last week's message, how many of you, as fathers, actually obeyed the word? How many of you had quiet time with your children and with your family this week? Are you catching what I'm saying? It's no good listening to the message and say, wow, what a wonderful Father's Day message, but you think it's just a nice thing to listen to. With this, coming to church is just, you know, getting a nice teaching. It's like going to school and you're going to a great school and you had a very entertaining lesson and a very informative lesson and you learned something new. But if you do not set time aside as a father with your family and you did not obey the word of the Lord, this was not a teaching. It may come in the form of a teaching, but you need to see it as an instruction from God. I gave the example of little Mikaela last week when she received her first Bible from Christelle on her birthday. And Christelle bought the extra little notebook, and we celebrated as a family the fact that she's now receiving her first Bible and spent time reading it with it. With her through it, and little Michael that looks at it, and when he turned 7, he didn't want anything he saw in the shops. All he wanted was a Bible, because we placed value on that Bible. Now, was that just a testimony? Was that just a nice story of what happened in our families? Or is God saying, I'm speaking to you through this example that I expect you to make sure that your children have a Bible, their own one. That you give them a little notebook and you teach them how to read the Word, how to make their own notes, how to do the same. In other words, when the example comes, it's not there for entertainment, it's there for you to go and do likewise. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he demonstrated to them the principle of servanthood and that he who wants to be the most has to be the least and has to be the servant of all, he didn't do it just to be entertaining, to sell DVDs and CDs, and to get high ratings on internet. He said, go and do likewise. Every single example, we need to see it as a word of the Lord, as something that we say, go and do likewise. Go and implement what you have received. And still there are sometimes people that say, well, you know, it's not really so important to be in church every Sunday. You know, it's time that we can just, you know, relax a bit and chill out. And, you know, God, I'm still with God and God is still with me. And, you know, I'm not backsliding and I'm not fading away. You know, so just chill out. You know, get a bit of balance in your life. That kind of thing. Have you ever heard that? Get some balance. God, I want to tell you, is very unbalanced. He says it's all or nothing. He says you're hot or you're cold. He says when I speak, you're either here to hear my word or you're not here. Okay, I'm going to leave that as that. One of the problems that we face and why we have this, and by the way, I'm not speaking about when you're going on holiday. So if you've got plans for the next 2 weeks and you've booked your holidays, go and have your holiday. Come back and be blessed. Okay, I'm not yet to put condemnation on you. I'm not talking about when you have an emergency. I'm talking about, as a rule, how much do we value the times when God speaks. TV, I want to tell you, has become a great problem in this regard as well. Because we look at TV at night instead of reading our Bibles. We're watching all sorts of things instead of spending time with God. But there's another problem with that. It's this consumer mentality. That, you know, I can watch the rugby when I want to, and if I don't feel like it, I just switch the TV off. And I can just sort of consume what I want. I can even consume some Christian messengers over TBN or whatever, and it's an on-off switch. I can demand when I want to watch a DVD, when I want to watch what program. I determine when I listen to what. And then we think we can do the same with God. And we can come to God and we can press play and then God must speak when we say speak. And we want to watch the God DVD when we feel like it. When we're in the mood and we've got popcorn ready. It doesn't work that way. When God speaks, He says, put your stuff down, gather your family, stand at the entrance of the tent of your, at the entrance of your tent and get ready to listen. You know, that's He determines the agenda. He determines when, where, and how, and we've got to be there. If we're not there, we're going to miss out. Then whose responsibility is it to catch up? Whose responsibility is it to go and get a DVD or a CD? Or to go to cell group and ask my friend, listen, I missed out. What was the word on Sunday? What did God say? Because I really want to know. I don't want to miss out. And I want to tell you, as a young student, Christelle and I, we just understood this principle. None of us ever missed a Sunday meeting. Not the morning, not the evening. We wanted to hear what God was saying. And we understood the principle that if we miss, we are behind. We cannot afford to miss. In other words, if we take that picture of Israel, and here the man stands at his tent, but let's say there's a family who sleeps in. And they decide, ah, well, let the others tell us later. We're going to sleep in and we're not going to stand at the tent of our, at the door of our tent. And we're not going to wait for God now. We'll catch up later. And they sleep and they sleep. And the pillar of cloud, which represents God, moves on while they are sleeping. And all the other guys sees God is moving from one place to another. And I want to tell you that God moves continuously all the time for all people. And for every church. And God is taking us as a congregation on a journey, and we are moving forward from step to step, from place to place. And some of us are going to wake up in our tent, we're going to look out the door and say, "Hello, everybody," and you're going to say, "What? Where is everybody?" Because you cannot even see the cloud. You cannot even see the dust. It's gone from your sight. And then you know, and then you ask yourself, why can I hear not hear God? Why am I not excited like everybody else is excited in church? Why am I not in tune with what God is doing? Because somewhere along the line, you overslept. And you did not rise up when you were supposed to rise up. And now you know, wonder, why don't I speak the same language? Why am I not in unity with the rest of the people? Because you bunked class, that's why. To put it in school terms. Exodus chapter 16, verse 14 to 20. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people saw it, this is now the manna, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to him, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Let's jump to another story. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 to 26. This is the story where Moses himself did not circumcise his own child like he should have. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah, that's his wife, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So he let him alone. It was then that she said, "A bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." Here we have two scenarios. One where Israel has been given a clear instruction, do not leave any food over. And when they disobey because they want to be wise, they want to save something up, they want to use the methods of the world to calculate according to business structures, then that piece rots up and Moses is angry with them because they disobeyed the word of the Lord. Moses himself comes to that place where he does not listen, and Moses, the great man of God, almost died, was it not for his wife? And what did she do? She didn't go sit in a corner and cry, oh my husband. She went and did what was right, and that's what I said 5 minutes ago. Go and do what is right. Stop complaining, stop howling, stop crying, and go and do what is right. Go and obey what God has said for us to do. It's that simple. So I want to leave with you this morning a term which is called prophetic obedience. The prophetic refers to every time that God speaks. A prophecy is simply a message from God. It can pertain to the past, the present, or the future. It can pertain to an individual, to a group of people, to a nation, to a certain time. It is a message from God. And when God speaks, we must be obedient. And this is the one thing that I want us to realize today, that when He speaks, we have to be obedient. God expects obedience, not hallelujah, praise God, what a nice message. God is a God of long suffering. Meaning He's patient with us. And He was patient with Israel. They were moaning and complaining in the desert. And they were walking there. And they were rebellious. And they were stubborn. And they turned against Moses. And they were pointing fingers at God. And they were saying, "Why did you lead us out of this place?" And they were crying for manna. And they were crying for meat. And they were crying for water. And they were just moaning and complaining and being disobedient all along. And then finally they come to the promised land. And there they get scared. And they say, "We're not going to go into the promised land." And then God answers them this way in Exodus, and He says, "These 10 times you have tested me," and He says, "Now it is done. Now I draw a line in the sand and I say, all of you who disobeyed are going to die in the desert. and you will not see the promised land. Then they had a big fright. Ooh, now we're all going to walk in the desert for 40 years until we die and we're never going to see the promised land. Ooh, let us go quickly and let us go do what is right. And the Lord said to them, don't go, don't bother, it's too late, your time is up. They didn't listen and they went to war, and those who went to war were killed, the last one of them. And God was not with them. There comes a time, if we look at that scripture, when God is saying, time up. Now I'm going to move with another generation. In other words, God moves with the obedient, not with the disobedient. And he will have patience, and he will have long suffering, and he will have mercy. But there comes a time when he draws a line in the sand, and he says, now I'm going to get somebody else to lead the intercession. Now I'm going to get somebody else to go and help with the children's church. Now I'm going to get somebody else to go and evangelize the continent of Africa. Now I'm going to get somebody else. You see, as I was building our house and fixing it up, when somebody didn't do what I asked them to do, and I asked them two or three times, and they still don't do it, then I say, thank you for coming, but I'm going to get somebody else. And God works the same way. So I want you to know that the fear of God has to come upon us. That when we say we have to be prophetically obedient, we're not saying this is a nice idea. We're saying God will have patience with you up until that point in time, and then he says, now we're moving on with or without you. Is anybody getting a little bit scared? Just a little bit. Because God has been speaking to me about these things in the last 2-3 weeks. And I realize I have to have a holy fear of God upon me. And I have to make sure that I do not miss something that he's saying. So that I do it correctly. And God is about to draw a line here in Standerton. I want you to know that. That you can know and be warned. God is drawing a line, and he says, you're with me or you're against me. That's the words of Jesus. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. There is no middle ground. And he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. In other words, if you don't obey me, it means you don't love me. And don't pretend to even love me. Don't even call my name. Go and obey my word and then demonstrate your love to me. But there comes a time, and the time is now, when God says, there's a new dispensation coming, and I want my people to become people of order, people of obedience. Which is why we got that word from Revelation today. Where God said, if you overcome, great. There's blessing waiting on the other side of your overcoming. If you don't, your lampstand will be removed. It's that simple. Now, a last closing thought, two things. Perhaps another example. 3 weeks ago, I spoke on a word called the war for money. If you've missed it, please go and order the DVD. It's available. But in that, I spoke about the fact that we as Christians need to support each other, Christian business people. We need to pray for one another in our jobs as Christians. We need to pray for the Christian businesses. We need to pray for the Christian farmers. And we've got to not go and buy from the guy that's not a Christian if there is a Christian with the same kind of shop. Okay. You remember that? Who of you remember that word? Okay. My question to you is, have you done that? Did you buy your car from a Christian or not? Did you take out your insurance policy from a Christian or not? Are you in sync? Are you listening to what God is saying? Which leads me to the last thing, and that is prophetic unity. The first is prophetic obedience, and the second is prophetic unity. In other words, when God speaks to us as a congregation and is saying, I want you to now have a Christian business directory, and I want you to support the people in your church faithfully. And if you can't find somebody with that specific business in your church, then find somebody that's also a born-again believer in another church. That is God's leadership to us, and we need to be in unity. Prophetic unity. In Judges 7, verse 2-8, you can go and read more about Gideon and his guys, of how God spoke to him and said, listen, I don't want 32,000 guys to rise up against the enemy. I want you to do it in a different way. all those who are fearful, send them home to their wives. Let them go and have a holiday. And so the guys went. 22,000, 10,000 remained. God said, it's still too many. And yet, he said to him, now take them to the river, and each one that I show you must go or stay. And he said, this is the sign. Those who kneel down or are watchful, who are focused and drinking water like this, they will go with you. But everyone who puts his knees down or falls on his face to drink water directly will not go with you. And eventually he ended up with 300 men instead of 32,000. And even the 32,000 was outnumbered. Does that make sense? To any general in the modern day army, it does not make sense. Does it make sense to the 22,000 guys that now walking away there with feelings of guilt, while we were too afraid and we were too scared, and that's why we're not part of the missions team? Does it make sense to them? Or some of them say, "Oh, I know I'm fearful, but I'm going to come because, you know, I don't want to miss out." Now, if you're fearful, you've got to turn around and walk away. Because that was the instruction of God. Then how did the guys feel when he said to them, because you lied on your tummy drinking water, now you're going to go home? I think they must have felt ashamed. They must have felt embarrassed. They must have felt, how can you send us at home? We are ready to fight. We are ready to die for you. We are focused in our minds, in our way of thinking. Now you send us. You need us. Why do you send us home? In other words, as people, we can reason with the leader there and say, no, this is not right. We need every man. We cannot send people home. But God said, this is my instruction. And when you follow God's instruction, and you have your pitchers, and you have your torches, and you have your shofars to blow with your 300 men, then God gives you the victory if you obey Him exactly in what He said. So there needed to be prophetic obedience individually, but there also needed to be prophetic unity corporately. The 300 men had to be obedient to what God said, as well as the other 31,700 had to be obedient as well to stay when they were told not to go. And so God is leading us in a season where He's going to speak to us. He's going to lead us, and we need to do two things. Come into prophetic obedience, and when God speaks, do what He says, or get left behind. And we need to come into prophetic unity. When God leads us corporately, He says, do this, do that, we must be there. We need to rise up. We need to listen to God. We need to respect the messenger and the message that God gives. And say, I am going to heed that, because this is not another message. This is not just some nice story or nice testimony or nice example. This is an instruction from the living God. And the fear of God should rule our hearts. Amen. Sounds like a heavy word, isn't it? Hey? And in fact it is. Because there's a line in the sand. And we have to have the fear of God. So I'm going to ask the ushers, if they can help us with the communion. We're going to hand out the communion. And then we're going to close off with that. Because this morning before church we were playing a song in the background about God's obedience. Can you remember that song? Let's play that song first.
I'll be waiting for the last people to receive. Is there anybody that has not yet received? Just raise your hand if we know if you miss either the bread or the wine. Has everybody received? I focused a lot on the one prophetic word we received this morning, but not so much in the other. And the other one that we received this morning concerns stress and worry. And some of us may sit here now with some stress after this message as well. Ooh, how am I going to match up to what God is saying? How am I going to implement this? How am I going to get my life in order? And God is saying to us, just come to me with what you have. Come to me with your faithfulness. Come with repentance to me. And I want us, before we partake of the bread and the wine together, to just come to a place of cleansing and just say, Lord, once more, I come before you with my disobedience. And you talk about to him about the times that you bunked class when he was speaking. And when you were not there when he was speaking, or when you did not pay attention to what he said, or when you paid attention but you still did not obey. Because I don't want us to eat of the bread and the drink of the wine before we haven't come to that place where we say, Lord, I'm sorry for disobedience. I'm sorry for not being prophetically obedient and for not being in prophetic unity. And then we can eat and drink together. So I'm just going to give you a minute to just speak to God there where you are with your bread and wine in the hand, and just get your house in order before the Lord. Just whisper it to him quietly there where you are. Don't just think it in your head. Just come before him and say, Lord, I want to repent of certain things. Father, we come before you this morning as a congregation, as family members, as visitors, recognizing that not one of us in this room is perfect, that not one of us have obeyed you completely and absolutely in everything that you've told us to do. Not one of us did rise up every time you called us. Sometimes we overslept. Sometimes we did not pay attention. Sometimes we paid attention, but we still disobeyed. Sometimes we just point blankly refused. Sometimes we did not receive the word as from you when it was clearly from you. Sometimes we've disrespected or did not connect with the person who gave the word, or the office of the person who gave the word, or the instruction. And Lord, today we want to come and repent of that. And say, Lord, we are sorry for not obeying your prophetic voice, for being like the people who did not pay attention to Moses and the prophets, who did not pay attention to the messengers of God, and who will therefore go the way of death. But Father, I pray that you would come and restore to us today. And we thank you, Lord, for your restoration, for your healing power, for your deliverance, for the fact, Lord, that you do not hold these things against us, but, Lord, that through your blood and through your body, we are redeemed. We are set free. We can have a new day and be blessed in it. And so, Lord, I pray that you set a mark this day in history for us individually, but corporately as well, Lord, that we may start from this day to be prophetically obedient and to prophetically obey and be in unity, in Jesus' name. Let us eat and drink together. The amazing thing as you finish your bread and your wine.
As God is like an earthly father in one sense, is that after the paksla and the hiding comes the big hug. And he says, come now, come sit you on my lap. And he takes out his sakdoek and he wipes off your tears and he says, okay, there's no genoeg geheel. Like we have to say to Joshua all the time. You know, genoeg geheel, klaar geheel, there's no klaar. Gaan speel nou weer. And then with the same instruction, don't do it again. Go and do what is right. The same instruction that Jesus gave to the woman who was caught in adultery. He said, you are forgiven, you are free, but go and do what is right. Stop and sin no more. And so I want us to, as we remember the bread and the wine this morning, that we also remember the fact that we have received a word from God, a strict word and a tough word. But the idea behind this word is not to leave us in condemnation. Once we get the hiding from the Lord and he said, you did not listen, you did not pay attention, you're not in unity, you're not obeying my voice and my word and my instructions through whom I give it and when I give it. He says, but we've said it now, the paksla is here, now go and be blessed. Go and be happy. Not like that guy sang, be happy, no worry. You know that song? Okay, so we're not going to go exactly like him because then we're going to have to get dachazol and all sorts of things. But we're going to have to go with the joy of the Lord. So I'm going to ask the band to just come up. I know that the time has already run out. So I wanted them to sing that new song, 10,000 Reasons. And that's 10,000 reasons, not 10,000 reasons not to be in church, but 10,000 reasons to be in the presence of God. And we're going to have coffee and tea. Please have some fellowship there. They're going to just celebrate that in the background here. If anybody here has a specific prayer need or a prayer request, I want to encourage you to come to the front. I'd like to pray with you. And if there's anybody here today that says, I actually have never been obedient to God in my life. I have never actually come to the place where I bowed my knee to Him ever. And I want to commit my life to Him, and I want to bow my knee before Him, then I want you to come and speak to me personally directly. Okay. Amen.